Good morning. This is another beautiful day that our Lord has made. This is a day in which we have many reasons to give thanks and praise to God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my great joy to be here and to participate in this consecration service of your new building. I'm deeply grateful to your Pastor John for his gracious invitation. Although Christ Church does not have a long history, your mission and ministries have made a tremendous impact on your community and the world. Along with the growth and vital ministries of this church, God gave you a vision and worked with you to build this new facility. Your honest prayers and generous donations made the building project a reality. All of you have done a great job in building this beautiful facility. Every piece of brick, every piece of tile on the floor, and every equipment in this building have your prayers, sacrifice, and dedication. I thank God and all of you for this beautiful new building. But the completion of this building is not the end of this church, but a new beginning. This is a new beginning of a year, new era. You are opening a new chapter of your history. So consecrating this beautiful building, it is very appropriate to ask ourselves these questions. What is next? What does the Lord want Christ Church to do with this new building now and in the years to come? Someone may think, Bishop, I know the answer. The next thing we need to do is to pay the mortgage. Yes, it is important to pay the mortgage on time. But the church has more important things to do. Paying mortgage cannot be the major thing or the mission of the church. What is next? This morning, we listened to a scripture lesson from the Gospel of Luke. In this lesson, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Jesus gave them a briefer form of the Lord's Prayer and then talked to them about the parable of the friend at midnight. He taught the disciples about persistence in prayer and assurance of God's answer to our prayers. This morning, I'd like to pay attention to disciples' request to Jesus to teach them to pray. They could have asked Jesus to teach them many other things. For example, they could have asked Jesus to teach them how to heal the sick, or how to change water into wine, or how to feed 5,000 people. Or they could ask Jesus how to walk on water. But they did not ask Jesus any of these things. The one thing they asked Jesus in the gospel was to teach them to pray. Why? Why did they ask Jesus to teach them to pray? The disciples observed and learned the importance and the power of prayer in Jesus' life and ministry. The disciples knew that the prayer always came first in Jesus' ministry. They saw that Jesus always prayed before he made important decisions. Before he began his public ministry, Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days in the wilderness. Before he chose his 12 disciples, Jesus prayed the entire night. Before he went up to Jerusalem, Jesus prayed with three of his disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration. Before he was arrested and crucified on the cross, Jesus prayed at the Gethsemane. And after he performed miracles many times, Jesus went out to the mountain and prayed. The disciples watched and learned the importance and power of prayer in Jesus' ministry. So they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the disciples got together and devoted themselves to prayer. The fourth thing they did to prepare for their future ministry was to pray together. Prayer was that important. Consecrating this new building today, we may ask Jesus many things. We may ask Jesus to teach us how to increase our worship attendance or how to strengthen our financial stewardship. We may ask Jesus to teach us how to reach out to our neighbors or how to develop a strategic plan. All these things are important. But most of all, we need to ask Jesus to teach us to pray. We need to learn to pray harder and deeper. Prayer is the major thing in our life and in our ministries. Prayer should go first when we envision the new future. Truly, prayer is that important. Let me talk more about this request of teaching us to pray. Why is prayer this important? Why do we need to ask Jesus to teach us to pray today? First of all, prayer is the essence and the foundation of our faith. To build our new future with this building, we need to examine and strengthen our foundation. If the foundation of our faith is not strong, we cannot build our new future on it. Being a Christian is more than becoming a better person. Being a Christian is more than doing some good works. Being a Christian is more than having knowledge about God. It is more than a culture. We believe in a living God, and our God is still alive. Being a Christian means having a relationship with this living God. If our faith remains as only information or knowledge about God, our relationship with God will be I and it. But if we have a living fellowship with God, our relationship with God will be I and you. Having knowledge about God is important, but that is not enough. Faith as knowledge needs to grow into faith as relationship. I was born in a Christian family. My mother was a very devoted Methodist. So I'm joking, you're always saying that I was predestined to be a Methodist. From my childhood, I went to church every Sunday. Going to church on Sunday was not an option. My mother never negotiated on that. I did very well in Bible verse memorization contests. In old days, we did that. Once I memorized from Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 to chapter 5, Beatitude, I memorized all the names in the Matthew chapter 1. Of course, I got the first prize. Though I memorized many Bible verses at that time, my faith was in the stage of faith as knowledge. When I was in my late teens, my pastor of my home church gave an inspiring sermon on Young Adult Sunday. First, he quoted what Charles Reed, 19th century English novelist, said, "Sow an act, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap the destiny." Which means, if you repeat the good act, then good habit will be formed. If you have a good habit, that will give impact on the formation of your character. If your character is rightly formed, your life will be different. And he challenged us, please sow these two acts daily. Try for 6 months, your life will be changed. The two acts he recommended were read the Bible daily, pray to God daily. I was deeply moved by his message. So I tried to practice this spiritual discipline. When I came to read the Exodus, where Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, I remember one man in the movie Ten Commandments. You know, his name is Charlton Heston, who played Moses' role. He did a great job. So while reading that passage and that portion, a thought came to my mind. A certain thought came to my mind. Wow. God intervened the history of Israeli people. If that God is eternal God, that means that God is still alive. What is my relationship with that eternal God? Suddenly I found that I was sitting before that God. My heart was filled with a sense of awe. I think that moment was the time my faith as knowledge was transformed into faith as relationship. Unfortunately, today many Christians are not strong in their prayer life. They say, Bishop, yes, we pray. But just saying hello to God a couple of times at the table is not enough. Some years ago, when Mother Teresa arrived at an airport, a journalist approached her and asked the question, Mother Teresa, do you have a message for American people? Mother Teresa said, yes. She did not say, love more, give more. She did not say. Without hesitation, she said, American people should pray more. That was her message for American people. For a new future of this great church, first of all, our praying needs to go deeper. A deeper prayer is more than asking God to give us something we need. A deeper prayer is opening ourselves and listening to God. A deeper prayer is not a monologue, but a dialogue. A deeper prayer is seeking that God's will to be done on earth and in our churches as it is in heaven. In this deeper prayer, we will be changed. We, the church, will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, on this joyful day, we need to ask risen Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer is that important. Another reason we need to learn to pray is our reality and the challenges we face today. Unfortunately, for the past 40 years, the United Methodist Church have been declining continuously and becoming an aging church. Of course, Christ Church is different. This church has been growing and has many young people and young families, especially after moving into this new facility. However, our mission field, the world is changing rapidly. Many people say that the United States is no longer a Christian country. This country is now a mission field. And the fast pace of technological developments presents us with another challenge. This development is making a huge impact on our daily lives, our values, and our ways of communication. Relevance to our changing world has become a major concern in today's church and its ministries. In this rapidly changing world, we cannot do our ministries effectively and fruitfully with our own strengths. Now is the time to go back to our Lord, who is the owner and the head of our church. To continue to grow as faithful and fruitful church, we need to kneel down before God and seek humbly the guidance and strength from our God. I love what E.M. Bounds said in his book, Power Through Prayer. Quote, We are continually striving to create new methods, plans, and organizations to advance the church. We are ever working to provide and stimulate growth and efficiency for the gospel. The church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men and women. What the church needs today is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or more noble methods. The church needs persons whom the Holy Spirit can use. Persons of prayer, persons mighty in prayer, unquote. This is the reason as a bishop, I say wherever I go, we need to pray harder and deeper to respond to the challenges we face today. This is the reason I say no spiritual vitality, no vital congregation. This is the reason I challenge the clergy and laity to dedicate at least 1 hour daily for spiritual disciplines. This is the reason I invite the churches to become a prayer covenant congregation. So, facing many challenges today, preparing for our new future, we need to ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Truly, prayer is that important. Today is a joyful day, consecrating this beautiful new building, but I would like to challenge you. I believe that the best of Christ Church has not come yet. Our Lord expects more fruit from this church in the years to come. I pray that you will catch Christ's vision. Your name is Christ Church, so catch the Christ vision on you today and continue the journey toward a more faithful and fruitful church. I pray that your future is built upon strong prayer. Benton Street Christian Church is a solid, healthy congregation. The church formed a new evangelism team. Martha Grace Reeves, the author of Unwinding the Gospel, met the evangelism team members over lunch. The team members have energy and excitement and kept asking Martha what to do. Martha gave them a strange and surprising advice. Would you spend 3 whole months praying together and not doing anything else, not making any decisions for 3 whole months? The evangelism team members were surprised at this advice, but they agreed to pray for 3 months. Martha suggested them to meet every week and pray at least 1 hour. Pray for the church, for the members, for discernment, and for the people they don't even know that God would love to be able to bring to Benton Street Church. And Martha told them to pray for each other and to pray that God will show them what they are to do and that God will nudge the right people to help them. The evangelism team prayed every morning at 7:30, wherever they were. They read the book and searched the internet together. Every month, their report to church council was saying, "We have been praying." After 3 months, the team could recruit 65 team members, and their evangelism ministry was launched with vitality and excitement. Connie, the team leader, wrote to Martha and said that it was incredibly difficult for these 4 can-do women to wait in prayer 3 months. All 4 of them have a highly motivated, extremely organized, and get-it-done personalities. But in this practice of praying first, all 4 of their prayer lives have been radically changed by this experiment. And during the first year, since new evangelism team launched their ministry, this church welcomed 80 new members. Let us open our new future with prayer. If we kneel down before our God and humbly seek God's will and the help from the Holy Spirit, this church will have a great future. Prayer will change our present and our future. Prayer will make differences in the history of this church. So, consecrating this beautiful new building, we need to ask our risen Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. Truly and truly, prayer is that important. Amen. Let's bow head. For a new future of this church, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen.